Welcome to Prophetic School Part 9. I'm so excited to be able to share with you again another message on the prophetic ministry. We have so many people that have responded to the teachings, and the weeks have gone so quickly. And I want to welcome all of our first-time viewers and those who tune us in every week at the same time. Today we're going to discuss how the prophetic gives you a future and a hope, or an expected end. Before I do that, I do want to recommend that if you have missed the first lessons, you can always go to our website at crusaderschurch.org or johneckhartministries.com and review them free of charge. View all of the teachings. I'm sure that you'll learn quite a bit on what we've already shared. We've shared quite a bit of information already on the first 8 lessons. And of course, we also are recommending that you get a copy of the book, God Still Speaks. It's the book that I've written on the subject of prophetic ministry. And it talks about the different aspects of the prophetic: personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, prophetic ministry in the church, prophetic worship, the song of the Lord, prophetic presbytery, how the prophetic impacts a local church. And many have written for the book. If you've not yet received your book and you recently ordered it, just be patient. We've got quite a number of orders we're getting out, and we'll get them to you as quickly as we possibly can. Thank you so much for ordering the book and visiting our website, and even listening to some of the other teachings on the prophetic that I've done in the past. You can go to my website at www.johneckhartministries.com. You can order MP3 teachings on prophetic ministry that I've done in the past, or you can just view the first 8 lessons, including this lesson will be number 9 on the subject of prophetic ministry. Today I'm really going to share from 2 verses of scripture. One is Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. It's a familiar verse to many people. You probably heard it before, but maybe never heard it taught in a prophetic context. And then we're going to look at Psalms chapter 40 and verse number 5, one of my favorite verses on teaching and preaching on the subject of prophecy. There's so many different scriptures we can look at. I probably could teach this subject for just infinity, week after week. I don't know exactly how long I'm going to be teaching on this subject before I shift into something else, but I love teaching on prophecy, the prophetic, because I've seen this ministry bless so many people and turn so many lives around. And so I'm going to share again from Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. Let me read it to you. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Again, that's Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Another translation reads this way: "To give you a future filled with hope." So we're going to talk about hope, how prophecy, the prophetic word, gives you hope, how important hope is for you as a believer, and what hopelessness and discouragement will also do to you as a believer. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy has against any believer are the spirits of discouragement, depression, frustration, hopelessness, despair. There's so many people that are watching and living on the earth that are filled with hopelessness, despair. They come to church to receive hope. They come to church to hear the word of the Lord. The word of God gives us hope. God is called a God of hope. The Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And even though we hear a lot of teaching on faith, we hear little teaching on hope. And basically the connection between faith and hope is this: that faith is what gives substance to your hopes, or it makes your hopes, your dreams, your vision a reality. Faith has to have something to work on. It has to have a hope to work on. If there's no hope, no dream, no vision for faith to give substance to, then faith has nothing to work with. And so hope is very important. Without hope, your faith has nothing to work on. And so hope is the foundation upon which you live your life, and then faith is what gives substance or makes that hope a reality. Now this verse tells us that God's thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace. That word peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom. And the word shalom is a much more varied word than just peace. In the English, it's translated peace, but in the Hebrew, the word shalom has a much richer, fuller meaning. I have a whole teaching on the subject of shalom. Solomon's name is a derivative of the word shalom. Solomon, of course, was a king that lived in prosperity and peace and abundance. Shalom means favor. It means health. It means success. It means happiness. It means peace. It means to be blessed. And so God's thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace or thoughts of shalom. Now, the scripture also tells us in the book of Isaiah that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways, but as the heavens are high above the earth, so are his thoughts above our thoughts and his ways above our ways. Now, some have read that verse and thought that since God's ways are higher than our ways, or his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, then it's impossible really to know the thoughts of God. But the Word of God, the written Word of God, gives us the mind and the thoughts of God. And, of course, the prophetic Word also gives us what God is thinking concerning us. It's important that we hear God's thoughts. We know God's thoughts. And prophecy is one of the ways that the thoughts of God, the heart of God, the mind of God is released into a person's life. And when God begins to speak to you, it is so much higher than your natural thinking. It will literally blow your mind, the things that God will say to you through prophetic utterance. Because often our thoughts are limited to our past, our experience. We think on an earthly level, often in a human level. We don't even think large enough, but God has plans and purposes for us that are so much larger than we could ever imagine. And so prophecy is one of the ways that we release the thoughts of God. When I prophesy over an individual, if I'm speaking the thoughts of God, if I'm speaking the word of the Lord, then I'm releasing to that person the thoughts of God. And it says that God's thoughts are thoughts of peace or thoughts of shalom. God speaks peace or shalom to his people. Again, that word shalom means prosperity, success, favor, health, healing. It's a general term that really capitalizes the blessed life. And so when we prophesy to people, we're speaking peace, we're speaking grace, we're speaking favor, we're speaking shalom into their lives. We're speaking what God is thinking about them. I've seen people weep and cry when they hear prophecy on a personal level, often on a corporate level as well, but on a personal level, I've seen people weep, break down, and cry because sometimes for the first time in their life, they're hearing the thoughts of God concerning their life. They've heard so many people say so many things, sometimes negative things and earthly things and things that really don't encourage them. But prophecy is such an encouraging gift because it gives us the thoughts of God. And I've seen people that break down, weep, cry. They're amazed and astonished that God would even think of them in this way. Often, people are plagued by low self-esteem. They think lowly of themselves. We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. That is pride. But often people think in such a negative light because they look at themselves, but because of their past failures or because of their present situation, and they feel frustrated, they feel defeated, they feel lonely, they feel isolated, they feel as if they're not a success. When the prophetic word comes, you begin to hear the thoughts of God. You begin to hear the thoughts of peace, the thoughts of shalom. And when you begin to hear that for the first time in your life, it is amazing the transformation it brings into the lives of people. And this is so important that you hear the thoughts of God. Then it says, not only in that verse that thoughts of peace or thoughts of shalom, but it's designed, not of evil, but to give you an expected end. So there's a purpose in God's thoughts. There's a purpose in receiving God's thoughts or hearing God's mind is to bring you to an expected end. God has an end for you. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. He has a goal for you. He has something he expects, and you should also expect in your life when you begin to hear the thoughts of God. Now, again, the King James Version says an expected end, but another translation says a future filled with hope. I love that translation. Basically, what it's saying is that when you begin to hear the thoughts of God, and in this case, we're speaking primarily as a result of the prophetic word. Now, there are other ways you can hear the thoughts of God. God can speak to you his thoughts directly. You can hear the voice of God. God can lay his thoughts upon your heart. You can read the word of God. Those are the thoughts of God. We're not against that. We support that. We're talking primarily about how this applies to the prophetic. And how when we prophesy, this also releases the thoughts of God. It gives you a future and a hope. And so when you begin to hear prophetic words over your life, it begins to release you into your future, into your destiny. It begins to really give you the plan of God for your life and for your future. You're not here by accident. You weren't born by accident. God has a plan for every individual born, especially born again in the church. And God wants to reveal his plan, his thoughts to you. And God wants to give you a future and a hope. Now, that's important that you have hope. You have a future. And when people don't have a vision, they don't have a future, they don't have a hope, they end up being disillusioned, discouraged, isolated, frustrated, hopeless, full of despair, despondency, depression. And that is one of the ways that people live their lives, full of hopelessness. They've had so many of their dreams canceled or destroyed, or they've had so many things happen in their life until they just lose hope. They begin to ask the question, why am I even living? What hope do I have? What is God's plan for my life? Does God have a plan for me? Does God love me? Is God concerned about me? Have I done too much? Have I aborted the plan of God? Does God still have a plan in the future in my life? Well, this is what prophecy will do. It will give you an expected end, a future, and a hope. It brings such encouragement. It brings such hope. And again, hope is important because hope is called the anchor of the soul. And hope is what your faith begins to give substance to. When you receive a prophetic word and you receive hope, you need to begin to believe that word, begin to release your faith, begin to confess that word, because faith is the substance or of things hoped for. Faith gives substance to your hope. It gives reality to your hope. It makes your hope a reality. It causes your hope to come to pass. So it's important that we do believe the word that we receive, and even speak as Mary spoke, be it unto me according to thy word. That's important that you use faith, but faith has to have hope. Yeah, faith has to have something to work on. Your faith has to have something to give substance to. If there's no hope, then your faith has nothing to work on. I have this saying that faith without hope is hopeless. You can't have faith without hope. Faith has to have hope, and hope is what God gives us. When we hear his thoughts, his voice, he gives us hope. And again, I've seen so many people come that are discouraged. I deal with people all the time that are discouraged and they're frustrated. I deal with preachers all the time that are discouraged about their ministry, their future. One of the first questions I ask them is, when was the last time you received prophetic ministry? And many of them would tell me, I've not received a prophetic word in years. Then I say, well, no wonder you're so discouraged and you're so full of hopelessness, because you're not hearing the voice of God in your life. I don't believe it's the will of God for you to live your life without hearing God's voice. That's why this book is entitled God Still Speaks. We believe that God still speaks today. God has always spoken to his people, and God still speaks today. He will speak to you. One of the ways he does it is through prophecy. When the prophetic level is increased in a church and you begin to have more personal ministry to people, you begin to release the thoughts and mind of God concerning an individual, then that person begins to receive hope, and their spirits begin to pick up again. They begin to lift their head again. They begin to hope again. They begin to take courage again. They begin to have a reason to live again. They have a vision, a dream in life. Now, everyone is not hopeless. I'm not trying to give the impression that if you don't have prophecy, you're hopeless. Everyone is not hopeless. Everyone does not have a vision or lacks a vision. There are many people, many believers that are strong believers. They have great hope. They read the word. They study the word. They hear the word. The word gives them hope. So I don't want to give the impression that everyone is struggling, everyone is fighting, everyone is hopeless. But I'm simply saying there are many, even Christians in churches, that are dealing with these issues, and God has given us a powerful gift called prophecy that will minister to us in this area. Remember, one of the foundational teachings I did on the subject of prophecy is that he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Prophecy exhorts us. It edifies us. It builds us up. It comforts us. And so we need that exhortation. We need that comfort. We need that edification. But prophecy also brings hope. It gives you life. It gives you a reason to live. And often that's what we lack. We lack the thoughts and the voice of God in our life. Now, the other verse I want to share is found in Psalms chapter 40 and verse number 5. Now, this is one of the most amazing verses that I've read in Scripture. It's not as well of a known verse, but it is an amazing verse when you put it in the context of prophecy or the thoughts of God or the words of God. Psalms chapter 40 and verse number 5, It says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And we can all agree that God has done many wonderful works. He's done many wonderful works in my life. He's done many wonderful works in your life. He continually does wonderful works in the lives of people around the world from generation to generation. God is a God of wonders. So it says many. We emphasize that word many, not a few, but many. O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. But then he says, and thy thoughts which are to usward. In other words, not only does God does many wonderful works, but God also has many thoughts, many wonderful thoughts toward us. God is thinking about us. God has many thoughts concerning you. The thoughts of God are so numerous that it says this in Psalm 40 and verse 5. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare, this is this now, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. If I would declare and speak the thoughts of God, they are more than can be numbered. They're infinite. They are too numerous even to speak. Now put that in the context of prophecy, because in the last 25 years of my ministry, I really began to come into the prophetic around 1989. I've been preaching since 1979. And even though I was raised and born again in a Pentecostal church, we believed in the gifts of the Spirit. We believed in prophecy. We really didn't move into the prophetic to a strong level until around 1989. So since 1989, I've received hundreds, if not thousands, of prophetic words over my life. And I've had prophets minister to me, apostles minister to me. I've had people minister to me. I've been in prophetic services. I received all kinds of words. Not all of them were good. Some of them I had to judge. But I received many powerful words in the last 25 years, and I recorded many of them, but I couldn't even count. And I've seen a consistent flow of prophecy into my life in the last 25 years. This has always caused me to hope, to be encouraged, to be edified. I've never had a place in my ministry where I became so discouraged and so hopeless that I wanted to give up, because I was always hearing the voice of the Lord. I was always around a prophetic culture. I was always involved in the prophetic, and it's been one of the greatest blessings in my life, and I want that to be your portion. I do not believe it's God's will. If God's thoughts are so numerous that if I would declare and speak them, they could not be numbered concerning you, concerning your church, concerning all of us, then I don't believe it's God's will for you to go without prophetic ministry on a consistent basis. And one of the purposes of even doing these prophetic teachings is to stir people and to challenge the church to rise up in the level of the prophetic and to bring the water level of the prophetic even greater, higher. And I believe that all around the world, more and more people are getting exposed to prophecy, the prophetic, corporate prophecy, personal prophecy, prophetic worship, prophetic presbytery, the different realms of prophecy, prophetic companies, prophetic teams. We're seeing churches being raised up all around the country, every region where people are beginning to teach and leaders are beginning to teach, beginning to activate and release people into this dimension. It's more known now than ever before. I've seen an increase in the last 25 years of the prophetic level all around. In our city of Chicago, thank God, we have many churches now that are moving in the prophetic and operating in the prophetic much more so than it was when I first began in 1979 or 1989 when I began to move into the prophetic. And there's such a hunger for prophecy. The response we've gotten even from these teachings shows around the world that people are hungry for this. They want this. But I want you to know that God's thoughts for you are so numerous that if I were to speak and declare them, they could not be numbered. So it's important that we not only receive prophetic ministry, but we do it on a consistent basis. What I try to do in our local church, because we've developed the prophetic ministry, we have many people that have been trained and activated to hear the voice of God and to speak forth the word of the Lord. We have many prophets and many prophetic people in our church. Every year I encourage all of our members at the beginning of the year to receive prophetic ministry. And we provide prophetic ministry, especially the beginning of the year, every week at our church. We have many visitors that come to our church for prophetic ministry, and at the end of the service, we call them up. We have people minister to them. Some of them have not heard a prophetic word in years. Some of them have never heard a prophetic word. Many of them, they bring their phones, they tape them, and it is amazing how much hope and how much exhortation and encouragement it brings. But to me, it's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. God is always speaking. God's thoughts are so numerous that if we were to declare and speak them, they could not be numbered. And so I really believe it's never the will of God for any believer to go without prophetic ministry on a consistent basis. Now, if you're not around a prophetic culture, if you're not around the prophetic, I can understand. Maybe it's not known. Maybe it's not released. Maybe it's not dealt with. Maybe people just don't know it. It doesn't mean they're bad people. Maybe the church has not come up in that level. But I believe that if we'll pray and teach and read good books and preach this, that it will come up. Some things will not begin to manifest unless we teach it. Paul spent 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 teaching on the gifts of the Spirit and on prophecy to educate the Corinthian church of the proper protocol and how important this gift is. And he told them not only to desire to prophesy, but to covet to prophesy. Have a strong desire. Move in this. This is important. And so I want you to know that God has thoughts for you. And he has a future for you. And he has a hope for you. And he wants to bring you to an expected end. And if you want to hear the thoughts of God, one of the ways you can do it is through prophecy, by receiving prophetic ministry. Now, I personally prophesied over thousands of people around the world in over 80 nations. So I know wherever you go, no matter what the culture is, I've preached on five continents, and I've been to people. I had to have interpreters to release the prophetic word. But everywhere I go, lives are changed and transformed. And we've had teams from our church to go throughout the world doing this as well. And it's the same result. When people begin in the thoughts of God concerning their life, something happens. They get hope. They get vision. Many ministries are birthed this way. Businesses are birthed this way. Futures are birthed this way. People begin to hear things. Sometimes God gives you things you've never thought of. It's not your only confirmation of what he's also always already dealt with you. God can also speak new things into your life and then talk about a business or talk about a ministry or talk about traveling or talk about government or talk about educational system or what he wants you to do and say, I'm going to open doors for you and I'm going to give you the grace and the wisdom to move in this area. It's amazing how futures are released through prophecy. I'm convinced that many people will live and die without ever walking in their future and the expected end that God has for them because they've never really heard the mind and thoughts of God. They live their lives with a carnal mindset. They listen to human reasoning. They never hear the voice of God. They never hear the word of the Lord. And so they'll die without ever fulfilling God's vision and plan for their life. But I believe that many will hear God's voice, God's thoughts, and have a future and a hope-filled future and expect it in. And these will be thoughts of peace, thoughts of shalom, thoughts of prosperity, thoughts of favor, thoughts of health, thoughts of healing that will change your life and really release you into your future and your destiny. And so that's why I love the prophetic, because I've seen it shape and release futures and destinies. And as a servant of God, one of my main callings is to see people release into their future, into their destiny. God didn't save you just to go to heaven. Your future is heaven, and that is your destiny. But there's a purpose that God has for you while you're on the earth. He does not want you wasting your time doing things you were never called to do, never sent to do. It's not his plan. He doesn't want you wasting your life being with people that are not a part of your destiny, not a part of your purpose. He has a plan and a destiny. You'll never be satisfied in life unless you really walk in God's plan or destiny for your life. There are so many dissatisfied, unsatisfied, bored, frustrated people on this planet who are doing things they were never called to do, and they're wasting their life because they've never heard the thoughts in the mind of God. God has a thought for you. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you, and the prophetic is designed by God to release you into those plans and into those purposes. Now, we finally had a chance to get the questions up. For the last 2 weeks, we couldn't get questions up. We apologize for that, but we're going to answer some questions today. And I want to begin with this question. When you receive a prophetic prophecy, should you automatically bind the devil so nothing hinders it from coming forth. Well, not necessarily. I don't believe that you should automatically think of the devil when you receive a prophetic word. I do believe that if you do encounter resistance after a period of time, or you feel that the enemy is trying to interfere with your prophetic word coming to pass, then it's possible to begin to do that. But I don't think after receive, one of the things I do, when you receive a prophetic word, rejoice in it. Meditate on it. You don't think about the devil. Rejoice in it. Ask God to make a way for that word to come to pass. Begin to pray over it. Begin to confess it. Those are the main things you begin to do. Begin to do anything that the word tells you to do. Follow the instructions of the word. And don't worry about whether the devil can come. Don't get in fear. Don't stop being afraid of witchcraft or attacks of the devil or people. Don't be demon conscious. Now, I believe in demons and I cast out demons and I believe in deliverance, but don't be demon conscious when it comes to the prophetic word. Rejoice in it, walk in it, and believe that God will give you victory. Okay, this is from another question. Hi, Apostle. I love this. We met on an elevator. Okay, at LAM. So I know who you are. I told you about my book. And I have dreams that come true, and headings I need a mentor in this. What should I do? Well, you need to be around apostolic and prophetic leaders. That's one of the greatest things you can do. If you have a vision, a dream, and you want to be trained or what you call mentored, you need to be around apostolic and prophetic leaders. You need to connect with someone who's apostolic, because apostolic and also prophetic people are really ordained by God to help push people into their destiny and into their purpose, to give them counsel, to give them wisdom, to speak over their life, to prophesy, to pray, to even open doors for them, to assist them. This is a part, I believe, of the apostolic and the prophetic anointing. And I know you already have some contacts, but I really believe you should draw on those relationships. Get around them. Get around an apostolic or prophetic culture or company of people that really flow and operate in this. Get around people of vision and purpose who believe in moving forward, and even those that will assist you and help you to push you into your purpose and into your destiny. I believe that's one of the greatest things you can do. But the prophetic is so important. Be around prophetic people where you can consistently receive strong prophetic ministry, because that will also break you into a realm of moving forward into your future, into your destiny, and causing your visions and your dreams to begin to come to pass. So it's good to hear from you. Thank you for that question. This question is, sometimes when I hear what I believe is God, I find I get confused. Is it God? Or is it my voice or dreams? How do I know when it is God and not me? Well, knowing God's voice is something that you begin to develop over time. One of the first things you need to do is to study the Word of God, because God's Word is His voice, and begin to meditate on God's Word. Because anything God says to you, of course, it will line up with His Word. But there is simply no way of growing in hearing the voice of God. If you're a babe in Christ, it's like Samuel was a child, and he heard God's voice, but he didn't know God's voice, and he went to Eli, an older man, and told Eli, and thought Eli was calling him, and Eli said, the next time you hear that voice, answer and say, Lord, speak to me. And so sometimes it's just you're immature, you've not developed. You learn over a period of time. One of the things I've learned also about whether or not something is God or not is whether or not you have peace in your heart. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. When something is not of God, you will not have peace in your spirit. You'll not have peace in your heart. You'll feel restless. You'll feel grieved. You'll feel as if something is not right. When you hear God's voice, there's peace, there's rejoicing, there's joy. But again, you have to develop this. You have to learn how to listen and hear the voice of God and let God speak to you, meditate and pray over it, and develop that ability, because you can get to a place when you know God's voice, you know your own voice, and you know the voice of the enemy. But that has to be developed over time. In the meantime, meditate on God's word, study God's word. Follow the heart, follow your heart, follow the peace of God in your heart. Remember, God is not the God of confusion. Sometimes people do need deliverance as well, Because when it comes to hearing voices, there are a lot of voices in the world, and if you're hearing the wrong voices, it could be a matter of deliverance. And sometimes people are confused because they really need deliverance. So, there's no substitute for deliverance, getting things, confusion, double-mindedness cast out of your life, because you want to be stable enough to really know God's voice and not be listening to all these other voices that the enemy could bring to confuse your life. I hope that answer helped you. Thank you so much for that question. Okay, seeing only where I ask God to show me how something is when he will allow me to have a dream. Is this the beginning? I think it clicked off on me. Well, I think your question was, sometimes God does answer us in dreams. We can pray and ask God, and God can reveal it to us in a dream. Because when we're sleeping at night, often God can speak to us because we're not busy, we're not distracted, we're not busy with life. Sometimes in life, people are so busy until their mind is so occupied with the cares of this world, so it's very, very difficult for God even to get their attention. And so God often waits till we go to sleep to speak to us in a dream, in a vision. And so sometimes God does it. It's not the primary way God deals with us. God deals with us primarily in the inward witness. By the way, prophecy is really not the primary way God deals with us. Prophecy has been beneficial, but it does not replace the inward witness, the leading of the Spirit of God. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God leads you, puts things on your hearts. That's the primary way that God leads us. Prophecy is a benefit, a blessing, but it does not replace the primary way God leads us. So we need to follow the inward witness, the Spirit of God, the leading of the Holy Ghost, the peace of God in our hearts. God will give us dreams. God will show us things in the night season. But again, it's not the primary way God deals with us. So don't become too dependent, over-dependent on wanting to have a dream or wanting to have a vision. God can't do that. But the primary way is through his word, through his written word, through his voice, through his inward witness, through the Spirit of God leading us. And then he can speak to us in dreams and can speak to us also in the prophetic word. Okay, let me here's one. Forgive me, I'm trying to, let me see. Okay, I think this question is, a person asked me, knowing a person who says they're a prophet who will not submit to anyone and say they only submit to God. They won't submit to leadership of a local church because they say, I only submit to God. Well, first of all, there's no such thing as submitting to God without submitting to God's authorities in the earth. God's authorities, whether it's civil authority, you submit to that, the law of the land, whether it's religious authority, whether it's people that God has placed in your life as pastors or leaders, that's also God's authority. So you can't say, I don't submit to anyone. I would not listen to or follow any prophet that is not connected, accountable, submitted to any authority. It's just unwise because the person seems to be rebellious and anti-submissive, and they want to prophesy. Sometimes people say, well, I'm under God. Well, all of us are under God. But God is also setting the church pastors and leaders and elders. That's also a part of God's plan and God's authority. So people often will be very rebellious and need deliverance and really begin to operate in a level of witchcraft, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And when someone tells me that I'm not under anybody's authority, I'm not accountable to anybody, I don't listen to God, I don't listen to them. I don't associate with people like that, because either they're delusional, they're rebellious, or they really don't know the word of God and not submitted. Even prophets need to be accountable to others. That's why we have prophetic companies. And 1 Corinthians 14 says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. Even other prophets should be able to judge what you say, to weigh what you say. None of us are infallible. None of us can't make a mistake. All of us can become fleshly or worldly or make a mistake. And we'll talk about judging or weighing prophecy in the future. But any individual that does that, that's not accountable, that's a renegade, that's isolated, that's lonely, I would not follow or be around. Remember, old covenant prophets were sometimes lonely because they were the only ones. There was no one else was serving God. Elijah thought he was the only one. And there were still 7,000, but that's a different situation. Now we have the local church, which has been set up by God as a prophetic community with elders and leaders and people. So we can't look at Old Testament prophets who sometimes were isolated, alone, rejected, and even killed in Old Covenant apostate Israel and bring all of that into the New Covenant, the church, born-again people, spirit-filled people that love the Lord. So I hope that answer that question for you. It's a good question. It's one that's very common. Okay, here's one. I mean, there is a mixture about what God really wants to say for something from the human heart. Okay, because we are fallible. Again, we are fallible. That's why prophecy needs to be judged. Everything someone says, "Thus saith the Lord," does not mean it's the Lord. It can be some human our reasoning in it. We're not saying that prophecy is infallible. There is a mixture. That's why we need to know the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I've heard thousands of prophecies. I've heard people prophesy things that were contrary to God's Word. And of course, I wouldn't receive that. I know it was either from them or for the enemy. Then I heard prophecies that what they said wasn't really wrong, but I didn't feel comfortable in my spirit about what was said. And sometimes that's because people have a mixture. They're carnal. They're mixing in their thoughts or their desires. That is possible, which is why we have the Spirit of God in us to help us to know what is of God and what is not of God. The Bible says we have an anointing, and we know all things in the book of 1 John. We know the false from the true. We follow that anointing. We follow the Spirit of God. Remember, we talk about prophecy in these lessons, but the foundation is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the foundation of prophecy, the gifts of the Spirit. And sometimes we have not had much teaching on the Holy Spirit, which is something I think the church needs to do even more, because without the Holy Spirit, none of this works. How the Holy Spirit gives us peace, leads us, guides us, helps us, gives us discernment. So there is the realm of the Holy Spirit. When your spirit feel and you know how to listen to the Holy Spirit, then you'll know if someone is saying something that's human, mixture. If you feel uncomfortable, pray about it. Don't necessarily receive it because someone says, "Thus saith the Lord." We are fallible. We can make mistakes. This is why we judge prophecy based on the Scripture, based on the Spirit. Try the Spirit. For every spirit is not of God. We bring these things also into play when we're dealing about prophecy. Okay, it says, since I was very young, I have been fascinated with prophets. I think he says evangelists get used by God. I find myself praying for God to give me them strength. Thank you for sharing. Okay, let me say this: if you really are drawn to prophecy and you love this, you're an attraction to it. We're not talking about the psychic realm. We're talking about genuine prophets and the prophetic. It could be a sign that there's a prophetic dimension also in your life, because our gifts gravitate toward what we like, what our gift is. If you're an evangelist, you gravitate toward evangelism. If you're apostolic, you gravitate toward the apostolic. If you're a teacher, you love teaching in the Word of God. If you are a pastor, you gravitate toward that. If you're prophetic, you tend to like prophetic people, prophetic things, intercession, prayer. That's just a sign of the prophetic. It's one of the ways you can determine whether or not you really have a prophetic gifting or a prophetic calling operating in your life. How long should you be a part of a ministry, new ministry, without it teaching about prophecy? Oh, boy. Well, there's some ministries that will never teach about prophecy because they have no revelation of prophecy. It's not a part of their culture. You know, it's just some churches will teach on faith or healing or salvation because that's what they know. So there's really no time frame of how long you sit in the church and never hear about prophecy. If the church is not prophetic, doesn't believe in prophecy, doesn't release prophecy, I wouldn't sit there waiting forever. It doesn't mean you have to leave the church, but you may need to go somewhere else and visit to get some teaching on the prophetic. God may lead you out of that church eventually to grow, because some churches you get saved in and you learn about salvation and the basics, but they never take you any further than that. God can use a church to get people saved, even begin to disciple them, but sometimes there's a ceiling as to how far that they will grow because the level of revelation in the church is and they stay with the basics. And so some people become frustrated and they stop growing and they eventually have to leave. Not that the church wasn't a good church, not that they didn't get saved there, not that they don't owe that church a debt as far as salvation or discipleship, but in order to grow, sometimes they have to go places that preach deliverance or miracles or the prophetic or the apostolic because they sense a desire to grow further. We've had testimonies of that. We've had many people come to our church. I don't encourage people to come to my church. I'm not trying to fill my church up with people from other churches, but I've had people come to our church, and I've had people leave my church and go to other churches. So it works both ways. But they felt that they couldn't grow anymore in their local church. They love their church, good teaching, but beyond salvation or basic teaching, they couldn't grow. And they came to receive teaching on the prophetic. So you may never hear prophecy being taught in some churches. It's just not the level. It's not their understanding. You need to pray for that church. Hopefully, eventually, they'll begin to teach on it. But if not, then you need to find somewhere else that really will minister and teach on this subject. Okay, when I'm in the midst of prophecy, I rarely get a word. What could be the reason for this? You kind of cut off on me there. Okay, let me just say this. Sometimes in prophetic circles, the leader can pick out people to minister to. If there are a lot of people, everyone will not get ministry. That's why I believe we need to establish a prophetic level in our churches where we have people that can prophesy, and we invite everyone to come up who needs a word to get a word. Because sometimes people feel overlooked. They'll sit there and the preacher goes all around them. And they wonder why. It's not because you're anything wrong with you. It's just the preacher may not see you. He may be led to go somewhere else. And the preacher or the prophet can't minister to everybody. But when you have teams and numbers of prophetic people released, then everyone gets ministry. In our church, we make sure that every new member who comes into our church and goes to our new members class, we send a team to always minister to all of them prophetically. We make sure that everyone in our church has access to prophetic ministry. So there's nothing wrong with you. There's not that God doesn't want to speak to you or God doesn't have a word for you. It's just sometimes there's only so much time, or maybe the method of the prophetic is such that some people get left out. Now you're sitting in the back or the middle. Maybe the people on the front row get all the prophetic ministry because they're right there in the front, and that's what the leader sees, and that's who he ministers to. So don't let that bother you. Just pray and believe God that the level of the prophetic in the church will rise, whereby everyone who needs a word. God loves all of us. He wants all of us to receive ministry. He has thoughts on all of us, so I believe that God will raise the level of the prophetic so that more and more people can have access to this particular ministry. Okay, thank you for that question. Let me do a few more here. What if you receive the word you don't understand? I was told new missions in your own backyard. Okay, sometimes we use language that may be difficult for people to understand. When it says new missions in your own backyard, you have to just take the word and what does that mean in the natural? Your backyard is something that's close to you. It's something that's right in your home. So when it says new missions, it could refer, the word could mean that you're not, the missions is not to go overseas, because often when you hear missions, you think of going overseas to another continent. What that word may mean to me, when you look at it, is simply, you know, in your family, someone close to you, in your neighborhood, in your own backyard. So basically you take the word and look at it in the natural and say, what would this mean in the natural? And you apply that spiritually. Sometimes we do get words that may be difficult. You know, pray about it. Sometimes it's not you, it's just sometimes the prophet or the prophetic person may use words you don't understand, especially if you're not really used to the prophetic or you're used to the words that are being used. So try your best to look at the word in the natural and what it would mean in the spirit. Ask God to reveal it to you. Pray about it and ask God to illuminate it to you. Often God will show you exactly what that word means. He'll give you revelation of it, even if you don't understand it at once. The more you meditate and pray on it, the more it'll open up to you and the more you will begin to understand it. Okay, thank you for that. Let's see, this says, Carl is wrong. Okay, this question is kind of I don't quite understand that question. Please, if you're gonna don't make statements, ask a question. We don't, you know, I'm not here to receive statements about who's right and who's wrong. Try your best to ask a question and try to be as brief as possible, so I don't have to read and try to figure out what your question is. Okay, let me try another one about prophetic worship and instruments. I would like to know about shofar and the relation of it with the prophetic worship. When I saw the shofar for the first time, it was like a love at first sight. Well, the shofar is basically a horn or a wind instrument. And, you know, they're string instruments, they're wind instruments, the piano is a string, the guitar is a string, they're percussion instruments, drums, cymbals, and then they're wind instruments, horns, shofars. The shofar represents breath, and when you blow into it, so it's a powerful, it can release something very powerfully, prophetically, because it represents breath, wind, and spirit. So each instrument releases a certain sound, and there's certain sounds that cause us to flow prophetically. The shofar tends is a sound that even releases war or gathering or victory. That's the kind of sound it releases. Often when the shofar is blown and a prophetic word is given, and sometimes when we're prophesying, I'll have someone come up and blow the shofar, and as they blow it, I'll begin to prophesy. The Lord has given you victory. He is mobilizing his army. He's causing us to rise up. He's causing us to go forth. He's releasing his angels. So you can even prophesy off of instruments depending on the sound, what the instrument represents. So if you're attracted to that particular sound, it's probably in the prophetic realm. It represents gathering. It represents warfare. It represents victory. Those are the things that the shofar represents. It's a very powerful instrument. It can be very prophetic, and it can be incorporated in a church at the right time when people flow prophetically. We have a shofar team in our church. We open our service up every Sunday with the blowing of the shofar. It's the gathering of the people. It's a sound of victory. We often have the shofar blown when we're prophesying in a very strong victory flow, in a very strong warfare flow, whatever it is. So it's a very powerful instrument. You have to be very sensitive as a leader to when to bring that kind of instrument in. But the more you do it prophetically, the more you learn how to flow with these different instruments and how they release different aspects of the prophetic in your church. Okay, thank you. This one says, let me bring it up here. Is the same? Okay, let me bear with me here. I want to pray, and I want to prophesy over you. I dreamed that two prophets laid hands on me. What does this mean? Well, I'm not really a dream interpreter. But if you're dreaming of prophets laying hands on you, the laying on of hands symbolizes impartation. Paul laid hands on Timothy, imparted to him the gift of prophecy, other gifts. So a laying on of hands represents impartation. It could represent a prophetic impartation coming into your life. Doesn't necessarily mean that a prophet has to lay hands on you. Dreams can be very symbolic. Could be that God is laying his hands on your life prophetically. So there are different ways to interpret that dream, but I mean that it sounds good. I'd rather have a dream of two prophets laying hands on me than someone trying to cut my head off. So all in all, that seems to be a good dream. You can apply it, I believe, as far as impartation is concerned. Okay, this one says, what if your leader has a lot of excuses for not releasing you officially into the office of a prophet, but meanwhile you are already functioning in that office, you're already doing the work? Well, you know, sometimes leaders have excuses because they're afraid, they don't know how. That's why I believe that in churches we need to have some type of order or some type of expectation to release ministries. When you're in a church and you're submitting to many churches, if you're going to be a minister, they have a program that's designed, whether it's a year, 2 years, to let you know if you complete this, you'll be released. There is something. Sometimes traditional churches are much better at doing this than spirit-filled churches. And sometimes we talk about traditional church, but at least they have a platform and a program to release ministry, so you're not wasting years and years waiting on something to happen. So there should be some type of time frame. You should go to your leader and say, look, you know, I think I should be released. And if the person is not willing to release you and you feel as if your ministry is going nowhere, then the only way that will stop is if a leader begins to lose people. Sometimes people have to begin to walk away and leave a church before a leader wakes up and realizes, I can't not release people. I can't just hold destinies of people, you know, because I don't want to, or I don't feel, I don't know how to. Leaders are responsible for releasing people into their destiny. That doesn't mean that we do it prematurely or we do it just because someone wants to, but if you've been faithful and you've been moving in the prophetic and prophets, if prophets are not released in your church, then it could be that the church does not have a culture of releasing prophets or releasing certain ministries, and that could be a problem. Sometimes we need additional teaching and restructuring in churches to provide a way for ministers to begin to be released on a consistent basis. So, you know, that's the best advice I would give you, to talk and tell them, give them your heart. Tell them what you're feeling. Tell them you're frustrated. Tell them, you know, I don't like this. It's not right. Tell them how you feel. You know, we ought to be able to approach our leaders and bear our hearts to them. That doesn't mean that you're in rebellion or you're against them. You ought to be able to go to them and let them know how you feel, and they should give you a legitimate reason as to why you're not being released or whatever. That's satisfying. If they keep giving excuses, then you may need to pray and ask the Lord what you should do concerning your ministry and your future. Okay, thank you for that question. Okay, why do we need to break curses if Jesus redeemed us from the curse? Okay, we're really not talking about curses. We're really talking about prophecy. But let me say this. The same thing could be applied to healing. The Bible says Jesus, by his stripes, were healed. Well, we still pray for people to be healed. You can ask that question. If we're healed by the stripes of Jesus, then why do we have to pray for people to get healed? Just because the Bible says we're healed does not mean it's automatic. We still have to use our faith to lay hands on people and anoint people with oil sometimes. So some things are not automatic. We have to exercise our faith. So you get into a thing where it's automatically done, but the enemy is an outlaw, and he still will try to enforce things against our lives unless we use our authority to enforce what we have and use our faith to enforce it by declaration. So that's often why we have to use our faith to enforce it, because the enemy is illegal. It's like saying, you know, if robbing a bank is illegal, why do people still rob banks? Well, just because something is illegal or the law does not mean it won't stop illegal people from trying to do it. The enemy will still try to put sickness, disease, curses on your life. He'll do whatever he can. But by the provision of Christ, we can take authority and we can exercise our faith. You can walk by faith and declare that by his stripes you're healed and be healed. And you can declare that you've been redeemed from the curse and be delivered. So that's possible. But sometimes we do need, in cases, to enforce what Christ has done for us by actually exercising our authority and using our words. Okay, he said, this is the same question. Somebody prophesied, I realize that it is wrong, which is the right way to correct. Okay, if you realize someone is wrong in their prophetic utterance and you have the authority to speak into their life, then you should approach them in love and let them know that I feel that what you said was wrong. It's out of order. As long as it's done in love, if the person doesn't receive it, there's nothing you can do about that. But you need to do it in love. And if you feel the Lord leading you to do it, you have a relationship with the person, then you should do it. Because if someone is prophesying wrong things and no one is correcting them, it needs to be stopped and challenged before they damage or destroy someone's life. Okay, here's one. Can you become a member of Crusaders and live in another state? Sure. We have many members in different states that are connected to our church. They support our ministry. We send them tapes. We have people overseas that are connected to our ministry. They get our CDs and listen because they feel that what they get from us is something they can't get anywhere else. We love it. We will minister to you. I still do believe that you need to be in a place where you can fellowship, a church where you can fellowship, or at least visit a church where you can get worship and fellowship. I don't believe you should just go to church by computer or by tapes, but we do have people that are connected with our ministry all around the world. We also have people that are connected with our impact network around the world that come to our conferences. We have three of them a year in Chicago that come to our roundtables and our conferences. Our next one is going to be in June June 24th through the 28th will be Surge 2014. We have people coming from all over the world. We'll be promoting that shortly. And if you've never been in an apostolic prophetic conference where we have deliverance, the prophetic worship, people from all over the world, I encourage you to come to Chicago and be a part of our Surge 2014 conference, June 21st, 4th through 28th in Merrillville, Indiana. And we'll have the information to you as quickly as we can. And encourage you to come and be a part of that worldwide gathering. Okay, let me move on. I'm almost out of time. I'm sorry. Someone says, I was told that I was prophetic, but I am just now in connection with an apostle that has been imparting it to me. I was called to be a prophet and have been walking in that for many years. I was told that they were the only prophet in that house. Well, you know, oh God, help me, Jesus. When leaders say they're the only prophet in the house, I have a problem with that. God has too many gifts, too many anointings. He's too abundant. If the church has any measure of any numbers of people, there's more than one prophetic person in the house. Sometimes the leaders say I'm the only prophet because they want to control everybody and they want everybody to listen to them and they don't want any competition. But there's no competition. We should raise up teams of prophets, companies of prophets, prophetic teams. There should be many people in the church that are prophetic. The sons and daughters prophesy, so I do not go with that I'm the only prophet in the house or someone making you the only prophet in the house. Now, if the church is first starting, it's a new church, maybe there may be one when it first starts, but as the church grows and develops, there'll be more people raised up and more people released in ministry. That should be what we do naturally on a consistent basis when it comes to churches and church growth. Okay. The phone rings and the spirit tells me who it is. Is that prophetic? It could be, or it just could be a word of knowledge. It could be. It may not be, though. It could be just the Spirit of God telling you who it is. I've never had a question like that. I don't exactly know who to answer it. But hey, if God shows you that, God bless you. Move in it. Walk in it. It may be God just giving you, you have a gift in that area. And just moving it doesn't necessarily mean you're prophetic. The prophetic is much more than knowing things. The prophetic is prayer, worship, prophecy, intercession. There's a whole realm that goes along with the prophetic besides just knowing things. Okay, let me do one more. I apologize, we're running out of time. Do you agree with the words that prophets will be sent into local churches to speak to them about man-made doctrines that are not of God? Well, good luck. I'm sorry to say it that way, but you can't really go into a church unless the church opens up to you and welcomes you and allows you to speak. You just can't go into a church and say what you're preaching is not of God. I mean, either you're going to be ignored, rejected, sat down, or kicked out. But often, if you are connected to that church and you send into that church and they recognize you, of course you can speak a word about traditions and man-made doctrines and bring correction. But it's often an anointing that's recognized and received by the congregation. So I believe that's the proper way to do it, and I believe God can do that. God can assign you to a church, and God can send you to a church you're connected with to deal with doctrines and bring correction, because one of the functions of the prophetic is to bring correction and to bring adjustment to the local church. Well, before I go, I'm sorry I'm out of time. Remember, every Monday, we'll try to start at 7:30 now, give people just a little more time to get home from work or what they're doing, and don't forget to order this book, God Still Speaks. It's my book on the prophetic. Much of what I'm sharing is in this book. This book talks about personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, prophets, prophetic watchmen, intercessors, prophetic presbytery, designed to prophesy, the role of prophets today, your part in the plan of God, prophets who protect, prophets at the gates, personal prophecy in the local church, corporate prophecy in the local church, signs and wonders through prophecy, prophecy in the glory of the Lord, prophecy with the laying on of hands, impartation through prophetic ministry, prophetic presbytery, drawing from the anointing, and then there are prophetic protocol and prophetic exercises to develop believers. You can get a copy of this book by going to johneckhartministries.com, order straight from our website, and we'll send it out to you as soon as we get your order processed. Read the book. It'll help you. Many are being blessed around the world by getting a copy of this book, and I want you to be blessed. If you want to sow into what we're doing, the ministry. If you're being blessed by the teaching and you want to give a donation, you can go to crusaderschurch.org and just hit the donate button and sow a seed. What I'm doing is free of charge. I don't charge anything for these lessons. I want to bless you. I want to sow into your life. But I want you also, if you want to be a blessing, to be a blessing to me. We do a lot of traveling overseas. We teach on the prophetic around the world. This year I'm going to Holland. I'm going to Mexico, Colombia, Thailand, different parts of the world to minister, South Africa. We do a lot of traveling around the country, different parts to encourage, teach on the prophetic, deliverance, healing. We see many miracles, healings, deliverances as we go. And when you sow a seed, you're literally helping me to take teams and to touch and bless nations. And I believe that God will bless you as you help me and even give it to your account, the souls that are saved, delivered, healed, and set free as a result of your giving and supporting this ministry. So you can do that at crusaderschurch.org and just press the donate button and do it consistently. If you want to sow into our ministry, I welcome you doing that. And again, if you want to buy the book, go to www.johneckhartministries.com. Let me bless you. Father, I bless those who are listening. And I release your word over their life, oh God, concerning their hope and their future. And the Lord says, even as you listen to these teaching, I'm stirring in you a fresh hope, a fresh vision. For some have thought that it's strange the way I've been dealing with you and the things I've been showing you, but now I bring confirmation to your life, and I begin to show you the things that I've been speaking to you are of me, and I begin to show you from my word the different blessings and benefits of my gifts and my callings and my anointings, and I'm causing the prophetic to be lifted up in the earth, and I'm causing the water level of the prophetic to rise, and I'm causing hope to come where there was hopelessness. I'm causing hope to come where there was discouragement. I'm causing visions and dreams to be birthed inside of you. I'm even releasing you into your future and into your destiny. And I come against those destiny thieves in your lives and the enemy and the demons that have been assigned to destroy and to block your destiny, to hinder you from moving forward into your future. And I release my word that brings hope and future and destiny into your life, that you might rise up with hope. And I release faith into your heart by hearing my word, that you might even give substance to your hope and that you might see your dreams and your visions come to pass in the days to come. So do not be discouraged. Do not be hopeless, but know this is a day I'm releasing my thoughts to you, even thoughts of peace and thoughts of shalom. And you'll know my thoughts of love and my thoughts of favor and my thoughts of prosperity of your life. And you'll not think the same in the days to come, said the Lord, but I'll lift your thought level to another level. I'll break the low thinking. I'll break the stinking thinking. I'll break the negative thinking. I'll break the rejection thinking and the failure thinking and the low self-esteem thinking off of you. And I'll command those spirits to leave your mind, and I'll cause you to think higher and think deeper and think further and think the way I think over you, said the Lord. And as you take my thoughts and my plans and my purposes and begin to pray and begin to believe and begin to move on them, you're going to begin to see your future and your destiny released. And I begin to come against the things that have tried to hinder and thwart, even removing people out of your life that have been assigned by the enemy to stop your destiny and stop your future. And I begin to set you among those, even apostolic and prophetic leaders that will speak into your life and even help you to move forward into your destiny. You'll no longer be discouraged and frustrated and depressed and sad concerning your life and your ministry and your future, but oh, you'll have new hope and you'll rise up and you'll go forth and you'll see breakthrough in the days to come. And so, Father, I speak your word and I bless those that are listening to this teaching, and I pray this word and this prayer will touch their life and release them into a new level, Father. I speak grace, favor, peace, and shalom over their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you enjoyed the teaching, go to my Facebook page and let me know how you enjoyed the teaching. That encourages me and lets me know that what I'm doing is blessing you and helps me to even get ready to do more teaching in the future. We're going to do part 10 next Monday evening, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Encourage someone else. Again, if you miss any of the teachings, go to our crusaderschurch.org website or johneckhartministries.com website. You can watch the previous lessons free of charge. And again, until next week, I see you. I speak shalom, favor, peace, and prosperity over your life. In Jesus' name, amen.